We're going to go into the book of Genesis. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Book of Genesis, let's go to chapter 11. I'm going to read a couple of verses here in verse 27, reading from the King James Version this morning. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, and the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth from with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Continuing on in chapter 12, it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You can be seated this morning. When we think of the man Abram, if you're familiar in the book of Genesis, his name was Abram, and God later changed it to Abraham. Abraham. When I say Abraham, you think what? Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham, I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm, Father Abraham. Good job. As an old Sunday school song, I sang it for my granddaughter this week, and she just stared at me. Who's Abraham? So, Sunday school teachers, add that one to the queue. Father Abraham had many sons. And when we think of Abraham, we think of somebody of faith. When we think of him, we also think of him as the father of faith. There's many, many verses that are dedicated to him throughout the Bible. In fact, there's over 300. I started to do a study on Abraham years ago, and I thought I had gleaned everything that I could glean, and then I started that study again recently, and I was like, wow. We're not done yet. So when we look to Abraham, we see this man of faith. And when I think about Abraham, Abram, before his name was changed, and God called him, and he answered, right? And he went. And I began to really dig in and chew through the scriptures, verse by verse. And there was a couple things that started to jump out to me, and I started to talk to my husband about him. I'm like, what do you think about this? And how come it says that? And why is this word here? And the most beautiful thing about the Word of God is the Scripture reveals itself to us through the Scripture. So I'm not going to give you everything that I studied because we don't have time for that this morning. There's a few nuggets that I want you to grab onto in the hopes that it will start your appetite to dig in to the Word and to find out these things as God shows you. Terah, we opened up our Scripture. That's Abram's father. Terah was a man who worshiped false gods. How do we know that? Because Joshua tells us that in Joshua 24, verse 2. He talks about Terah. So here we have Abram, the father of faith, whose father was an idol worshiper. If you study in any of the Jewish history, you'll find out that not only was he an idol worshiper, he was an idol carver. He created them. So here's Abram. How on earth did he become the father of faith and the man that he was in the midst of his life and where he lived? You look at that, and it just causes me to have more questions. Another thing that got my attention when I was reading through it in verse 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said." Had said makes that past tense. And I was thinking, what do you mean? He had said. So looking through the scriptures, Stephen actually gives us more of that in Acts chapter 7. You can read it, where he talks about how God called Abram in Mesopotamia before he went to Haran. I always thought that Abram just did what God asked him to do. But in studying the scriptures, I realized that it didn't happen just like that. There were some things that took place, and I'm not going to even attempt to fill in the gaps. But in the studying and looking at this, there was some hesitancy that took place. For what reason? I don't know. But the scriptures tell us that Terah took Abram and Lot out of Ur, and they headed for Canaan. But for some reason, they stopped in Haran. Now, that's a little confusing because he also had a son named Haran, and his son died. So, again, I'm not going to say stuff that the scriptures don't say, but just thinking it through a little bit, observing the scriptures, I have to wonder, what was it? Was it the grief and the loss of his son that set him on a journey to say, hey, wait a minute, these gods, these idols, this pagan worship that I have participated in my whole life is not enough? Maybe he went searching after the death of his son and saying, where is God? Now, this is Terah, not Abram. So Terah took Abram, and he took Lot. And the reason that he took Lot was because Lot's father, Haran, had died. The ancient custom was that when the father dies, the next in line takes that child in. And so that's how Lot went with Terah and went with Abram. While they were in Haran, where they stopped, Terah eventually dies. And then Lot becomes the son of Abram, because as tradition is, he assumes that responsibility of fatherhood to Lot. And I got to thinking about that, because if you know anything about the story of Abram as he's traveled, it seemed to me like Lot was a headache. He was a lot. And I got to thinking about that, and I was like, why did he take him? Why did he take him? I thought, you know, like, I mean, I got a lot of nieces and a nephew here and a couple nephews, and I mean, I'm not taking them anywhere. I love you guys. I'll take you in my office and give you your treat. But I wondered why. Why? So then I get to thinking about it and digging into the ancient customs and reading about it, and the thing about it was he assumed fatherhood. So that made Lot the heir. To all that Abram had. And it's interesting, when you know these little nuggets and you start to think about these and you go back to the scriptures and you read through them, you can see how it all begins to like line up, right? And I'm thinking about Abram, and how many times did God give him the promise? Does anybody know? How many times did God give him the promise? It seemed like he gave him the promise, and it was like, yay, he's off. Father Abraham, here we go. It wasn't once. It wasn't twice. It wasn't four times. It wasn't six times. The scriptures show us seven times the Lord presented to him the promise that he would make him the father of many nations. And here Abram is living, as you read through the scriptures, you go through Genesis, he's living his life, and he's got that promise. But days pass, and months pass, and years pass, and he's still wondering, what about that promise, Lord? What about that promise? And I can't help but think that maybe the thought crossed his mind when his father died, and then he took on the fatherhood to Lot, that he wondered, well, is it going to be through Lot? Is that going to happen? How many times do we walk through something and we don't have the answer? And then we begin to look around and we begin to question. Well, maybe he meant this. And before we know it, we've twisted the promise and morphed it into the answer that we feel okay with. If we follow along in Abram and we jump over to chapter 15, I'm going to read a lot of scripture through here because I want to set this in your mind. Chapter 15, verse 1, it says, after these things, after what things? After Abram had to go and rescue Lot from the hands of the enemy, after Abram had defeated four kings, after he had to refuse the riches offered to him of the king of Sodom. You see, the adrenaline of all these things had worn off over the years. Maybe the blessing had cooled, and now Abram had some questions. After all of these things, don't be surprised in your life sometimes when you get victory in one area and fear creeps up in another. We see it here in Abram. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I'm your shield. Shields don't keep the battles from coming. They protect us in the battle. He is the shield. And this is what he's telling Abram. I am thy exceeding great reward. Now, I'm human, you're human, Abram was human. I can imagine the thoughts in his mind. He had just literally refused all the riches that the king of Salem had offered him. And God's saying, I'm your reward. And he's like, well, no, all of that could have been my reward. But God is saying, I am your reward. And Abram looks at God and he says, Lord, what are you going to give me? I love the honesty here. What are you going to give me, seeing that I go childless and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? God, what are you going to do? Why on earth is he talking about the steward of his house? He's talking about a person who takes care of his home for him, someone who works for him. And he's saying, hey, wait, Eleazar, maybe Eleazar's going to be my heir. You say, well, what? That was another custom, that sometimes couples who were childless, they would take a trusted servant and they would become the heir. So here he is saying, what are you going to do for me, Lord? Is it going to be Eleazar? More questions. But instead of hiding behind the questions, he took them directly to the source where he knew he could find the answer. And this is a new pattern that's being set for us in the scriptures. Abraham is saying, hey, he's not just God far off. He's a God that we can connect to and a God that we can go to with our questions, with our doubts. You see, it had already been a decade or more since he had received the first promise and the second promise from God. And Abram said in verse 3, behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, no one is born in my house is mine. Again, he's bringing his questions to God, and he's saying, I don't know. I don't know. And the Lord says in verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels and shall be thine heir. See, God is now narrowing the promise, and he's telling Abram, he's going to be your son. He's not Lot. He's not Eleazar. He's not an inherited heir. He's going to be your son. And he brought him forth abroad. This is my favorite part in the scriptures. When all Abram could see was everything in his life and everything that was happening, the Lord says, come here. Come here, Abram. I want to talk to you again. And for the fourth time, I think we're at now, he says, look toward heaven. Look up, Abram. Look up at the stars, if thou shalt be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. If you can count all those stars, you'll be able to count your offspring. You'll be able to count your descendants. You'll be able to count the fulfillment of the promise that I'm giving you, which was impossible. And God was showing him, this is what I will do. And something inside Abram, that fourth time that the Lord brought him this promise, something was solidified. In verse 6 it says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He believed. He chose to accept what he said as real. Faith. That's faith. You see, his righteousness that he was given was not a righteousness that was earned. It was a righteousness that God gave to him because of his faith, not because of anything that he had done. And he said unto him in verse 7, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these things, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. What was happening here in the ancient days, this was known as a blood covenant. They were literally cutting the covenant. And what would happen is they would bring the animals and they would split them open and then they would lay them. And then what they would do is they would walk between the animals as a sign as they cut the covenant. They would walk between the animals to say, hey, listen, I'm going to do my part of what I'm promising here. And if I don't, may I be as these animals. That's how they took this. That's how they looked at it. And this is what God was doing. Is he saying, okay, I'm no longer just going to tell you your promise. I'm now going to legally bind myself to it. And Abram knew what this was. And he guarded when the fowls came and the birds came, which leads me to believe there was some time that took place in order for them to come. Sometimes we have to guard what God has given us. We have to guard the promise of what he's given us. No matter what life brings our way, we have to hang on to the word that we know to be true. We have to choose to believe that he's on the throne, that he's in control, that his steps are my steps are being ordered by what he wants to do in his timing. Too many times we want to rush it. And boy, can we rush it in 2026. We can get almost anything in an instant. Oh, I don't know. Let me Google that. I tried it. I was like, hey, give me every scripture on Abraham. And do you know what Google said? There's too many for me to put in this post. I was like, too many? Well, just tell me. Tell me how many there are. So I started to do a list. And it wasn't even close. I don't even think we got to 50. And so I'm like, next, next. Like trying to push it. Like, give it to me. Anything that we want, we get in an instant. Except for that answer to prayer. And the enemy sneaks in and he wants us to think that because it's not happening in an instant, God doesn't hear and God doesn't care. But oh, he does. He cares so much more than giving you the answer right now. He cares so much more because he wants to develop within you the character of his very being. And he will allow us to go through a process. He will allow us to walk through a process. But more than that, as we look in these scriptures in verse 12, it says, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. He goes on to talk to him about the future, the promise that's coming. This is what Israel's future will be. He talks to them about it. In verse 17, he says, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces of the covenant that had been laid out. Abraham never walked through it. In fact, Abraham had become passive at this point because Abraham was fast asleep. I find that very funny. That the Lord said, I want to have a covenant with you, but go to sleep and let me do the work. because we're the opposite. God says, I want to do something with you, and you're like, what do I do? Sign me up. What do I do? Where do I go? What do I say? How do I make it happen? When's it going to happen? Now? Are we there yet? Right? We get all these questions, all these things that we want to do, and God said, you know what? I'm not even going to deal with that. Just go to sleep. Go to sleep. And not only just asleep, like he was passed out asleep, like after you get home from camp and you need to recover sleep. He was passed out. And what happened was he still saw somehow the smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between. As God walks through, throughout the scriptures, we see, when we see the smoke and we see the burning flame, it's a representative of God's presence that was there. And so here God is cutting the covenant, but in a way that says, you know what? It's not on you. It's on me. I'm going to do this in my strength, not in yours. So now he is legally establishing the covenant. He's giving him the promise, and he's saying, it rests on my faithfulness, not on yours. And what relief that brings to us today. It doesn't rest on you and your faithfulness or my faithfulness, but it rests on his faithfulness. And the scriptures tell us over and over again about how faithful that he is. Hebrews chapter 6. Starting in verse 13, it says, for when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them at the end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs a promise, the immutability of his counsel confirmed by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Our anchor and our hope is in God. Hear me this morning. The scriptures tell us that God cannot lie. He cannot lie. But the thing that the enemy of our soul has been trying to tell us from the Garden of Eden is that he's lying to us and he's holding back from us. There are moments in life when your faith will be tested. Because life will try you and life will test you. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen. It's a matter of when it's going to happen. And you have to choose. You have to choose to look at it. And you have to make the choice that says, you know what? Right now, it feels like God's lied to me. Because I haven't seen, and I haven't seen, and where is he? And how come? And all of these questions come. And the enemy's like, see? 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 But we have to choose to say, no, 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 no. Your word says you cannot lie. And right now it feels like you've lied to me. And so I am surrendering that to you. And just like Abram did, I'm asking you these questions because you're the only one who can give me the answer. Too often we're running everywhere but to the source. We're choosing to believe every word but his. And when he gives it, we doubt it, and then we're looking and we go to people. We all have the people. I don't like what you told me, so I'm going to talk to her. And I talked with her, and she said, but I don't think, so I'm going to go talk to him. Don't look at me like that, because I know some of you. I know me, and it's hard, because sometimes we hear things that we don't want to hear, about things that we need to deal with, things that we need to do. Things like, just look up, Jessica. Look up and see what God is doing. Stop looking down on your circumstances. Stop pouting about everything that's not going the way that you think it should go. Look up and see. We get to choose. We get to choose where we're going to place our belief and where we're going to place our trust. We get to choose. And why would we not choose the God? There is no one greater than him. There is no one greater. He is our great reward. And yet, how many times do we discard it? And we don't even think about it. It's not even a thought on our mind. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it said, God hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. Faith says every circumstance around me is telling me a different message. It's telling me to give up. It's telling me to let go. It's telling me to walk away. It's telling me I'm not enough. But what does he say? What has God said? That's what we have to hang on to. That's where we have to place our trust. That's where we have to place our faith. That's where we have to choose to believe what he said. I love the song set that was chosen today. I was in my office and I was praying and I was like, I don't know, God, are you sure about this? Like, even I was questioning him on some things. And I walked out here and I heard the praise team singing. And then I went back in my office and was like, yep, you know what you're doing. Who am I? Who am I? But you see, sometimes we just fold in the towel far too soon. We give up on ourselves because things aren't happening quick. Things aren't happening fast. The Lord called me yesterday and I should be in my ministry today. Life's not happening quick enough. I'm still single. I'm not. I'm married. Happily married for almost 23 years. But there's a season that we walk through and we're in such a hurry for God to answer. Or maybe it's I haven't had the child that the Lord told me that I was going to have. It's all in his timing. When I was pregnant with my son, who is now almost 20 years old, someone came up to me and they said, I had always prayed, Lord, I want boys. I grew up, there was four girls in my house and one boy. And I was like, I don't want girls. Please, God, give me boys. I know what I can do with boys. And I was praying for that prayer. And I was like, please, Lord, please. And Kenley was a surprise. And I felt like it was going to be a boy. And some well-meaning saint walked by me in the lobby and said, hey, I had a dream. And you were walking through here holding a little girl. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'll love her. But I asked you for a boy. I thought you were going to give me a boy. And Kenley was born, and he is all boy. He tumbled in the womb, and he hasn't stopped. He used to do somersaults down the aisle. All you mamas, there's hope. He's the same reason that we now have a gated baptistry, because we may have found him, Sister Grant, on the steps. Found him, actually. I don't promote this, but he's rolled his scooter into church while I'm trying to worship. Kids are kids. That's what I'm trying to say. Kids are kids. Life happens. Things happen. And I got my boy. And I haven't had any more kids. And I was like, what was with that dream? You ever think that? Like, people say stuff and you're like, you know what that dream was? I believe it was my beautiful granddaughter, Jacqueline. Because I don't know if you remember when she was born early because she had stopped growing in the womb. And we covered her in prayer. We smothered her in prayer. We were expecting to spend months in the ICU based on the report that the doctors gave us. And I told Kelly, I said, we're not going to go there. We're going to put her in God's hands. And I don't know if you remember, I'll never forget when she was born, I used to walk around church with her in one hand. because she was 4 pounds. And she literally fit from here to here. And as I walked through the church, I thought, you had that dream, but you didn't know it was my granddaughter. Because God gave me the son that I asked for. You don't know. You don't know when that answer's coming. Maybe it's coming 20 years from now. Maybe it's coming tomorrow. All I'm saying is don't give up on what God has said to you. Don't give up on where he's called you. Don't give up on what he offers you just because you heard the voice of another person. Abram almost gave up. Multiple times. You read it in the scripture, I'm not going to steal your thunder. You can read the book of Genesis. There is so much in there. I think it's almost a third of the book is on the man's life. But I look at that and I see, and sometimes I'm challenged because I read these scriptures and I think, this is the life. This is a person who lived and walked on earth just like I'm living and walking. And if I'm not careful, sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, I see me in him. I have those doubts. Sometimes I want to give up. And I start lining myself up with the man instead of the God who came into the situation with the man. You see, God showed up. His grace showed up continually into Abram's life. And to the point when Abram finally got it, and he believed the word of the Lord because God kept showing up. Instead of looking into life circumstances and comparing my life with your life or my life with their life, maybe what we should be doing is saying, God, what are you up to? What do you want to do right here? Where do I need to be placing my faith? Where have I misplaced my faith? Is my confidence in you, or is my confidence in the voice of man? Am I listening for you? Am I holding on to your promise, or am I surrendering it because of the word of someone else? Don't give up your promise because of someone else's word. I promise you, he will come through. He will. He will. It just might take some time. Allow that time. If you go through the scriptures and you look and you see all that God does when he meets people, he takes them into the desert. Have you noticed that pattern? He takes them often into the desert. I was thinking about the message that Pastor preached recently where he was talking about the mountaintop and the valley. Often God will pull people away. And what he's doing in that desert is a work. It doesn't feel like there's any progress. It feels hot. It feels lonely. The sand is gritting between my toes, and I am so over this. But he's up to something in that waiting. And he wants to come closer to the point that now Abram heard the promise from God once. He heard the promise from God twice. He heard the promise from God 3 times. And that 4th time that he heard it, I believe. I believe. And that, I wish I could say that was it, but the scriptures show us again that God showed up multiple times. He had to tell him, look up, Abraham. Look into the heavens and see my faithfulness. Look into the heavens and see the fulfillment of my promise. I don't know what you're walking through today. Some of you are walking through really hard, confusing situations. Some of you are just riding the cloud, and that's awesome, and I celebrate with you. But for those of you who have more questions than answers right now, I just want to ask you to look up. Look up and place your faith in the one who is able. Look up and place your faith in the one who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask. All that you could think. Boy, we can think up some pretty wild things, can't we? But the question is, are we willing to surrender those things? Because we look into the life of Abram and we see where God called him. And he said, Abram, come out. Come out of your father's house. Come out of your land. Why? Why did he do that? Because he had to break a mindset. He had to pull him away from things. Too many times God is calling us into the next season that it will be the fulfillment of our promise, but we won't let go. We won't let go. And he's saying, come on. But we're back here and we're like, no, I know this. It's familiar. It's comfortable. I'm hanging on here. And we dig our heels in and we refuse to follow because we don't know what's on the other side of that yes. We don't know what's waiting. He's on the other side of that yes. And as he called Abram, and he called him out of his father's house, because he was saying, hey, listen, I got to change some things, Abram. Typically, what would happen is the men would follow in their father's footsteps. But God saw something inside the heart of Abram. And he said, he's searching and he's looking. And he's not going to find the answer in the pagan culture of his father. We have to be willing to surrender and to open our hands and say, okay, Lord, I had some ideas, but maybe you've got some better ones. As the musicians come this morning,